Special guest,
Bobby Daniel.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
And Trevor, do you know why this is such a special episode, aside from the wonderful conversation we just had with Bobby Daniel?
Are you about to say that it's Global Running Day?
This is wonderful for so many reasons. Is this Global Running Day today?
According to the text from Saucony encouraging me to buy their shoes, it is Global Running Day today. Yeah. Today only.
Listen up, suckers. It's time to buy more Sauconys. Well, listen, it's Global Running Day every day for our listeners and our community. But also, this is the 41st episode of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Which makes the Power Motion Picnic Hour officially a fortissimo year old.
And, all right.
I think that's something we celebrate.
That's cause to celebrate for sure. And yeah. We did forget to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. We even talked about doing a big 1 year anniversary show, but that was actually May 9th, I believe.
Yeah.
Depending on, which episode you consider the first, the unrecorded actual first or the day we recorded it or the day we released it. I think May 9th is the release date.
Yeah. And that would have been nice to celebrate. But, you know, as we always like to say here, this is our podcast. So we can do what we want. The same way that we celebrate the length of a week being just how long it's been since we've done an episode.
Right. Yep.
And we record very irregularly.
We do. And this happened to be an exceptionally short week in running.
Yeah,
very, very good week in running, I will say, but a short one because our special guest arrangements just happened to line up. As we heard from our last special guest, it was hard to find a date. And when we finally found one, we just ended up having a couple special guests in one week.
That's cool. That's how it goes. You know, sometimes you get two a days and sometimes you have two guests in a week. Sometimes you follow up a 3 week long weekend running with a 2 day long weekend running. this is a very, very special week. And our conversation we just had with Bobby was totally cool. We talked about a lot about running. But we talked about, his current band Broken Gold. We talked about his time playing with Fastball, his time playing with Alejandro Escovedo, a good friend of the pod and a good runner.
Yeah. Yeah. Great conversation. Yes. Why don't we jump right into it and then we'll come back. Oh, well, we have to mention one other thing, which is we did leave the dear listener with a major cliffhanger. Let's not forget.
Yeah, we left him with a huge cliffhanger at the end of the last episode, at the end of our last interview with Jeff Cult. He got cut off while leaving us with what seemed like we're about to be words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom. He was saying, as my parting words, I will leave you with this, and then, or something along those lines, and then it got cut off.
Yeah, and as our parting words for this intro, we'll leave you with the knowledge that we will answer the question of what was Jeff going to say at some point during this upcoming interview and great conversation with Bobby.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
You're calling in from Austin?
Yeah.
Awesome. How's the weather out? How's the running weather?
It's horrible.
Really?
Absolutely horrible.
I
was just talking to someone this morning about, like, it started even earlier and it's even more humid. And I was like, it's going to drive me out of this state. The politics or the humidity one is going to run me out of here.
It's a proper race. Which one can do it first?
For sure.
I've been to Texas a lot. I don't think I've ever gone running while in Texas.
There's the advantage of, like, never gets cold.
Yeah. So you don't have get the weird cold weather running clothes.
Yeah.
I did a run in Manhattan where I live today, and it felt pretty hot, but I'm sure it wasn't as hot as Austin.
What was it? Do you happen to know?
It was probably not even 80. Yeah.
I mean, it's relative to whatever you're used to, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I ran at 6:30 this morning, and it was 82 at 6:30 a.m. and 85% humidity.
Oh, my God. Is that when you usually run in the morning?
Yeah. Until I can't take it anymore, and then I convince myself that it's better to run in the evening.
Yeah.
Even if it's like 105, the humidity will be in the 40%. And then you think that feels better for a minute until you just get burnt to a crisp and you go back to mornings.
Yeah. I ran at 3:30 in the afternoon. it was totally fun. Trevor, did you run today?
I've run early in the past, and I've been trying to get back to running early just so I can stay consistent. And this so I've been running like 5:30, 6. But this morning I was able to run at 8:30, which was nice. Yeah. It was nice to wait a bit, but it did feel hot. And same thing, it was like
low
80s probably. decent humidity, but yeah, nothing like what you're talking about, Bobby.
Yeah, it's terrible. We kind of get used to it a little bit.
But yeah. Are you in like in the city in Austin? Are you out in the burbs a little bit? Or
I mean, it's relative, right? So I'm like 3.5 miles from the Continental Club.
All right.
So like I'm close to town, but yeah.
You're like 3.5 miles south from the Continental?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I think I went to a practice space down there the last time I played in Austin, about 3.5 miles south from the Continental.
Yeah, like somewhat recently.
Yeah, it was probably 2 years ago.
Yeah, a place called Space, I bet.
Yep, that's the spot.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's in my neighborhood for sure.
Oh, cool. Well, that's a great spot. That seems like a nice place for running, but yeah, maybe in a different season.
For sure.
Oh, man. So you were referred to us to invite on the show from our mutual friend Alejandro.
Yeah, man.
And I think he told me you run pretty far.
It depends on what's going on. Like I've run some ultras and stuff, so but yeah, I don't just run stupid far for not any reason really. But I'm just kind of staying around 40 miles a week right now.
Oh, cool. That's
That's nice. That's good.
Oh, and that reminds me, something we shouldn't forget to do, which I always forget, is we like to ask our special guests to introduce themselves and say at least their names so that we can splice it into our intro. But anything else about themselves that they'd like to tell our audience as well?
Oh, dang. I don't know what I want to tell anybody, but hey, I'm Bobby Daniel.
That's good. Awesome. That's enough.
I think you're the first special guest to leave it at that, which is really cool.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. We've had a number. It's funny, dude. Some special guests are like quite accomplished in like professional athletics, and they'll read like a, I don't know, like a Game of Thrones, like, you know, queen or something. It's they've got like 10 titles after their name because they've just got all these accomplishments. Others will like be that accomplished, but just say something like, I grew up in New Hampshire. It's something like that. That was like our last special guest. Jeff Colt, an ultra runner.
Oh, yeah, I know of him.
You know, Jeff, so he's like, I'm Jeff Kolf. And he's like, you know, winning races and, you know, top 10 at the major ultras. And he's like, I'm Jeff Colt, and I grew up in New Hampshire skiing and running.
Fantastic.
That was a good one, actually. You're right. Yeah, I like such an open-ended question because it can get there's so many different ways to answer it. And so, yeah, today was a good one. A first.
Historic.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. If I would say anything else, it would just be I love the intersection of running and music.
Ooh, that's a good one too. I know that's the other
just
thing.
Just like right? Us.
Yeah. And that's a good segue to an open-ended segue to a number of follow-up questions. But yeah, like we have, I think, a lot of guests like that, right? Who have that overlap. Trevor and I are definitely, I would say, musicians first, and runners, I don't even know, second, maybe runners fifth.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same for me as well. It's just a passion and key to my sanity.
So what came first, music or running? Music?
Yeah, well, it depends on how far we go back. I definitely ran cross country in like middle school.
Okay.
but I wasn't really into it. I was more like chasing a girl, I guess.
Yeah.
And then it took till I was 35 to start running again. So, music definitely came first. Yeah, I can't tell any bit of the story without including that I got sober in 2005.
Ah,
There was
nice.
no running between middle school and then.
Okay.
Sure.
A
And
long
then that
hiatus.
kind of like led to, yeah, just wanting to live.
I mean, well, running, I mean, those two things go very well together. And I don't know. Yeah, I think running, well, I think sobriety makes running easier, and running probably makes sobriety easier.
For sure. And like, if you don't drink and do anything and you're a touring musician, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, you're playing for 90 minutes a night tops,
Yeah.
and then you've got all this other time to kill. And that just became my groove, was just like getting out in whatever city and just seeing as much of it as I could on my feet.
When do you like to go? Do you like to go like after sound check, before the show?
No, I would go early in the morning.
Okay. Yeah. That makes
Yeah.
more sense. When everybody else is hungover.
Yeah, exactly. And then we would all pile into the van and nobody saw anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I went to breakfast at this vegan place down here and got coffee over here and went running
Yeah.
down the river. It's like a grumble.
Yeah. Everybody
But I
else is.
would, like, when we were on bus tours, I would get out when I could. So you can't go first thing in the morning, right? You go
Yeah.
whenever you can. But there's a lot more logistics to that, like figuring out showers and wet
Yeah.
running gear and stuff. That's harder for sure.
That's true. And if you get back right before like hotel checkout, then you're fighting for the shower with all the hungover people.
Yeah. So what type of running do you like to do the most?
Trail running, definitely.
Nice.
Yeah. I will run on the road out of necessity, but given my choices, I prefer trail running.
I feel like I'm always outnumbered on this podcast by trail runners. We were like, because Trevor prefers trails, and then I'd say a very high percentage of our guests do too. Well,
Yeah. I mean, I'm fortunate here in Austin because I don't have to go but about a quarter mile of road to get to a trailhead. And I can take that all the way downtown and connect it to, and I can go south also. So there's probably
that's
30 miles
awesome.
of trail out my door.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible.
But then, some days you just got to get a quick hour run in and you just run through the neighborhood, and that's what it is.
I
And you,
was,
oh, go ahead,
no,
Nick.
I was just going to contrast to that with what I did today, which was I just moved and across Manhattan, and I went to run to the river, and I was going to run up to the track, but the entire stretch from like near where I live by the river to the track is under construction. So I was just doing this like hilarious running through Manhattan about 2.5 miles. It's just
See, I've
like,
done that too. Like
yeah.
a total, like a fool. Like I think that's, but like, what are you gonna do? I'm staying at some hotel. I'm just trying
Yeah.
to get somewhere where it opens up enough to actually
Yeah.
run.
I do love what you're describing though. That's actually my favorite kind of running, is like running through a city I'm visiting.
Yeah.
Like I
I mean,
did. Yeah.
when I was out with Alejandro way back, like Google Maps was even kind of a newish thing on your phone or whatever, and we would get somewhere and I would just open it up and look for like green spaces
Yeah.
and just kind of plot it out. Okay, in the morning I'm going to get up at this time and I'm going to go that way and just see what happens.
I like that too. Yeah.
I
I
like
did
that.
that. I was in Wales in January, and I did like a run that, yeah, I looked on Google Maps, but I didn't bring a phone with me. But there was a river. So I ran along the river for about 5 miles and turned around. It was kind of amazing.
Yeah, I've discovered when I was in Europe running that, like, I think this was years and years ago, but I didn't have like international services turned on or whatever. But the little blue dot will still move across the map regardless. So you can
Ah.
keep, so you can find, you can be like relative to where you are.
Oh, because it's
Even
probably
without services.
GPS. It might be
Yeah.
GPS,
Right.
not yeah. You don't need the cellular.
Yeah. I mean, that probably sounds like duh now, but
no.
15 years ago, I was like, damn.
No, I would always get to a new country, and it's surprising what level of cell phone service I do have and what I can do. And somebody could explain to me why certain things sometimes work, but I don't understand it.
Well, that's what you do when you go into like backcountry or, you know, places where you know you're going to lose signal, is you can, you know, on the apps, you need to either like download it in advance, so you have like all like the map data you need, and then the GPS can still follow you. Or you can even send like a GPS beacon, so like somebody else can track you.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool technology.
When Bobby, when were you on the road with Alejandro? Which, what years or records or whatever?
Yeah, I think 2008 to 2015.
Oh, cool. It's a nice long run. Yeah.
It was a good long run, I think. I think I held it down longer than anybody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
On the base position.
Did you guys go running together?
Every now and again. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he'd mind me saying back then he was not waking up early.
No.
Yeah. But he would always surprise me. Like, he's always down for shit. Like, I remember we flew into Spain and like landed in San Sebastian, and I like go put my stuff in the hotel room, and I immediately am just going to try to stay up till like regular bedtime.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for a run, and I get ready and I go downstairs, and he's in the lobby, and he's like, let's go get stand up paddle boards over there. And I'm like, let's do it.
Wow.
Let's go. Next thing I know, I'm like jet lagged and in the Bay of Biscayne on a stand up paddle board with Alejandro. I'm like, okay.
Wow. And he's a real surfer, so that's pretty impressive. Yeah, trying to keep up with him there.
I've chased him on surfboards in Mexico. Yeah, he's always down.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's cool.
Do you have a favorite like city like that to run in that you've discovered was awesome to run in?
Man, I like, let's, I don't know, in cities, I kind of like any city built sort of like Austin where there's a river and there's bridges, right?
Yeah.
Like Portland or Cincinnati or wherever, there's like, if you're just a tourist that just landed here for 26 hours, that's pretty much the best thing you can ask for, is just a river, some bridges, pick your distance and go.
Yeah.
And then anything beyond that just requires logistics, you know?
Yeah. Well, then New York works pretty good.
We
got a few bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. I would always be like, staying in Jersey or some shit, you know?
Oh, that's tougher though. Yeah, I've never, I don't Dude. Even know if you can run over from Jersey. Can you run over the GW?
It's no, and it's gnarly. Just even running over there is crazy. But the level I toured for so many years is like, you see New York City on the itinerary, you're like, hell yeah, you're staying in Jersey.
Yeah. You see the venue. And,
that's it.
Maybe you eat somewhere nearby, but... Yeah, then back to the Meadowlands or wherever those were people. And like, you can't like, yeah, if you're like the Meadowlands, someone was just asked me about that recently, like about, they wanted to go to I think it was like a sports game, and they're like, how easy is it to get in like to the Meadowlands from Manhattan? I'm like, it's like impossible. Like, it's like you take two trains and it takes forever, and it's, I don't even know. Not that I go out there much.
I've done some fun stuff where it's like did require logistics, but this was like, as I got better at this traveling, playing music and running thing, where it would start to like, oh, we're going here. And then I would even like go a day early.
Yeah.
Or like know that I'm going to rent a car and I'm going to drive to Zion or some shit. Like, I'm like making shit come together. Like, I was playing with this band Fastball after I quit playing with Alejandro.
Mm-hmm.
And we played like every Saturday at a casino in Las Vegas.
Nice.
Like, it was like a residency, but like, we would just go Friday night, play Saturday night, and fly home Sunday.
That's
so
kind
Las
of...
Vegas is dreadful anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, get out of here.
Could you run in Vegas? I guess it's cold at night, right?
Well, I just got out of Vegas. So I would land Friday night, get the rental car, go to the hotel, get up in the morning, and drive to the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And go around Mount Charleston, or go, like I said, to Zion or something. Like, every weekend, I just picked like an outdoor running adventure around this bullshit gig I had to do at a casino. 5 o'clock on Saturday. But it was a blast. Like,
that rules. That's funny to think too. Like, you know, fastball, right? Like, for any of our listeners who don't remember them, they had one really big hit in the 90s. Yeah. And so like a big enough hit, obviously, that people still remember it. But so that's the kind of gig open to a band like that, right? That's not open to just any band who had like a normal, regular, medium-sized career in the 90s, let's say.
Right. It's a weird existence. And you're kind of like grateful for some of it. And then some of it is, I mean, if you're realistic about it, I think, then it's like, hey, I guess I didn't realize until I was playing with them that you could have one song.
Yeah.
And basically do this for the rest of your life just off one song.
Yeah. It's almost like writing a Christmas song.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. And some of the stuff would be pretty cool, but it's like what I learned later was like a soft ticket band, right? It's like a festival or a free show in the park or a barbecue cook-off or something like that. But if you get in the van and go play clubs, like, no, yeah, nobody remembers.
How much of a set, like how long of a set could you put together?
Oh, well, they've been making records since.
Ah.
Yeah. They've got like 15 records out or something. So
I'm not as familiar with their current stuff as
yeah, nobody else is.
No, Trevor mostly knows the song.
Their one song from the 90s yeah, that I remember.
Wait, where in the set does that song go?
I think you know.
Yeah, you can't open with it. I guess you'll lose a percentage of the audience.
So I guess you won't mind me asking, like, are there like other fans that are there to hear the new stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Strangely, there are. Yeah. I mean, to be fair to those guys, they have one giant song, but they had three or four that any one of us would be stoked to have had.
Yeah.
To that level.
Like Johnny Marks, he wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but he also wrote Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And those aren't on the same level. I heard him talking about it once, but like, I would take either one myself.
Take either one. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. There's maybe you guys have heard this. There's a live version of Ray Wiley Hubbard doing Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother. And he does this extended talking part in the middle, you know, like it's probably during the spelling part, but this is extended monologue he does. And he talks about, he has some line about like, write a song, like before you do, think about like, can I play this song? Do I want to play this song for 40 years?
Absolutely. I used to play with Ray too.
Oh yeah. Oh cool.
Yeah. And I have told that to a million people, that deal about, yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you want to play it every night for the rest of your life, because that'll be the one.
But he also says in that spiel, and I'm sure he's used a version of this spiel a million times, he also says, but then, you know, about every couple months, I walk out to the mailbox and I get the, a letter with the check, and then it's okay, and that's probably
makes it all right.
That's the double-edged sword of that kind of thing.
He is a character.
He's a great songwriter. I've never met him, although I know a few people who've played with him, and some who play with him currently, actually.
Yeah.
One thing we should transition to is your current music. You just put out a new record, right, with Wild Eyes?
Yeah.
Or Broken Gold. The record's Wild Eyes.
That's with my friend Ian from the Riverboat Gamblers. And, you know, we met actually when I was playing with Alejandro. I'm trying to think of the connection there, but, you know, Alejandro's got a bunch of brothers, most notably Javier from the Zeros.
Yeah.
And then his brother Mario plays in the Dragons. I think the Dragons and the Riverboat Gamblers play together some shows. Anyway, that's how Ian and I met. And we were always wanting to be in a band together. We were always too busy doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it was with the Riverboat Gamblers, and then he went on to play with Band of Horses for like 5 years while I was playing with Fastball. And then like 2019, I think we had some time and we put together this covers project called Number One Record, where it was Ian's idea that we would just pick a record, learn it, play it live once, and then move on to the next one.
Nice.
So we did the Who's Next first, like pretty dumb move, if you ask me.
It was hard.
Yeah, it was a tough one just to bite off first go.
And on bass too. A lot of bands might give you an easier assignment on bass, but that's not one of them.
No, but we did it. We played the gig. Our friend Zach from Rise Against played with us on that.
Cool.
And then we were getting ready to do the Damned's first record when COVID hit. And so when all of that shut down, when we came back to things, Fastball started touring again a little bit, but not much. Anyway, that was about when I started playing with Broken Gold.
Mm.
And basically started doing the work that became this record.
The record's great. I love it. I've listened to it about 1 3/4 times, and I meant to go running to it, but I didn't, because that's right. We like to run to music and we kind of review it that way. But we say whether it runs or not. And even though I can't confirm, it sounds like this record probably runs.
I think it would. I don't listen to anything anymore running. Back in the day, I listened to music, I listened to podcasts, and then something happened along the way. I don't know. This is sidetrack, but
sure.
Listening to music while I'm running defines time too much to me. It makes me insane. Yeah. Like in my first 100-mile race, I had this playlist built. I was all this shit planned out. I started going and I'm like, I've already listened to Check Your Head and I still have 85 miles to go or something like this. It defines time too much.
Yeah, that's cool. I feel like the longer I've run, the less and less I listen to stuff, which is hindering this portion of the podcast, but otherwise right, but it is enhancing my running. Actually, I like running to nothing more than I like running to anything else.
Yeah
I like it both ways. But recently I've been listening less, and so yeah, I've missed last week's song of the week because I hadn't run to it, but like we just did, sort of like hypothesized that it would run for me.
That's going to be the new way we do the segment. We say we think it would run instead of reviewing whether it actually does. I think this would run. I thought the first two tracks in particular, what, Fault and Bad Days, because those come out pretty high energy. Although I feel like I always like high energy songs to run to. And then Trevor and all of our guests disagree with me.
I wouldn't say that. No, you had some supporters.
But my favorite song of the record is Spiral.
It has
it's a little different vibe than a lot of the other songs, maybe.
We'll put it out there. Yeah, it's funny you made that comment about time though, because I think that's something I actually like about music sometimes, is that it can like stretch the time. So I tend to like slower stuff sometimes, and even the last song of the week, it's just like sort of a little like spaced out and kind of drawn out. And for me, if I'm in a space of like pushing and it's hard, like stuff like that kind of helps me through it sometimes too.
For sure. I definitely like I don't even know the proper names for what it is, but just more ambient dance kind of shit running to stuff. I think just kind of like, if it just seems like one long song, I kind of like that.
It's not a close listen, right? You can kind of just just sort of let it. Jazz is good for that. Some jazz, I'll say, not all jazz, but I like running to some jazz.
Sure.
I'm gonna introduce a new segment where I impromptu suggest an album I think you guys would like running to that I just listened to two nights ago. Which is, I don't know. Do you know the band Cluster?
I don't.
Cluster is like, I guess they're like, I think they're from Germany. They're from the 70s, but they did an album with Brian Eno called Cluster and Eno.
I'm in.
Oh yeah, it sounds like what both of you trail runners who occasionally like running to ambient music would enjoy.
Yeah, you could listen to Brian Eno's like music for airports while running.
Oh yeah.
There's like a loop of that on YouTube. It's like 48 hours long or something.
I feel like when in doubt, that album is something I very often put on when I don't know what to listen to, or if I'm feeling a little anxious.
Exactly.
Or it could be a number of things. Or if I need something in the background while I'm reading, you know?
Yeah. It's quite versatile.
Yeah, right.
And Bobby, I wanted to ask earlier, you made a comment where you said it running helps you keep your sanity. And we've actually had a lot of conversation about that, like sort of the like, I mean, I don't know if you were saying it more just colloquially, like it keeps me sane, or something else, but like we've definitely had a lot of talk about that concept too, of just like it definitely is good for mental health.
I mean it absolutely, literally. I try to be aware, like if you've been an alcoholic and a drug addict, people will accuse you of swapping addictions to anything, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I did not run much of a step after middle school. And then as soon as I started running, I'm like, marathon, what's further than that? 50K, okay, 100K, 100 mile. So yeah, I'm an addict for sure. but it is key to like just, and people often talk about their run being like their meditation or whatever. So
yeah.
I definitely agree with that, but also there's still a place for like for real meditation. So it's definitely a different kind of thing. But I will admit, if I don't get to go run like one day, okay. If life gets in the way like 2 days, then I'm getting pretty grouchy. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, I don't like that really, but it's facts. I got to get out there.
Yeah, I feel the same. If I haven't gone for a run in too long, I'm like, you know, like even just when I was moving to this new apartment, had to kind of take some days off to move, and also to save my legs to walk up the five floor walk up.
Yes.
But missing, you know, 5 days of runs is a total bummer, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the crazy thing is like, that's so wild about running. It's like every one of us know that some off time every now and again is really great. And we also know that nobody loses fitness that quick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I know that now.
A little freak you out though.
I used to think I was going to lose it immediately.
I did too.
Right. I mean, that's a good thing about a really long race too, actually, because you know, I've never done anything longer than a marathon, but after running something really long, you know, you kind of like actually don't feel like running, maybe at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's nice to force people like us maybe to have that feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the other, like when you do decline from sort of like you get really strong and then you feel like you feel yourself trending downward. It seems like you can get it back quicker though too. The more running you do, like the quicker you can get it back too.
I think so. Yeah.
Do you have any races coming up?
The only thing, and I went to sign up today and it was sold out. So I messaged the race director and was like, hey, how deep is the wait list? But there's a race I like to do in West Texas called Sky Island.
Oh, cool.
It's in the Davis Mountains and it's in September. So I'll probably get in that. I've run that one a few times.
How far is it?
50K.
Nice.
And then probably Bandera 100K in January 2025.
Oh, awesome.
Both in Texas.
Those are long.
Bandera is a big one, right? There's a lot of big runners there.
There are. Bandera's you know what it was? I don't know that it is this year, but for many years it was a golden ticket race for Western states.
Okay.
So it's really remote. And it's kind of, there's nothing near it or whatever. So it doesn't lend itself to a lot of people traveling to it. Except a couple of people that if their race calendar kind of goes as such to where they need to get into Western states, like pro runners will be like, I'll just go to Bandera, win it, get the golden ticket. There's not going to be a deep field, right? There's not going to be for a pro runner. It won't be stacked.
How many people go to that and how many of them are musicians?
that leads us to a whole nother avenue I'd like to go down just and hear what you guys have to say about it. But not a lot of musicians there.
Okay.
And I think they cap it. There's a limit how many people they let in the race, and it's something around 350 or something, 500.
Oh, cool.
So it sells out as well.
Yeah, that's a small. That's a small race. I'm used to longer. Bigger races, not longer, shorter and more people.
That's, Well, that's what's so crazy. So I ran my first marathon here in Austin, the Austin Marathon. There's like 16,000 people.
Yeah, that's big.
Starts right downtown. And it's like, your regular kind of like city marathon.
Yeah.
And right after that, I went out and ran my first trail race. And there was like 110 people there. And I was like, I think I like this vibe
Ah, that's funny.
better.
Yeah, I just did LA. That's 25,000, so kind of, although,
Holy shit.
yeah, but 16 in Austin probably feels like more than 25 in LA, you know,
Yeah,
because
maybe so. It's just wild.
I know when do they run Austin? Is that like in the winter?
February.
Okay, maybe I'll come down for that sometime. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Alejandro said something similar about the trail running vibes. He's like, you know, you show up and they're like a bunch of surfers or something.
Yeah.
But
Mean, there's people camping in tents and like sitting around drinking beer or whatever. It's just a super chill thing.
I just live fact checked myself because I didn't want to get this wrong. But Jeff Colt won Bandera last year, 2023.
Really?
He was the
Dang.
winner. Yeah, we just had him
There you
on.
go.
Oh, nice.
So the special
So,
guest community tends to be like there's a lot of interesting connections between our special guests. And you should know
yeah.
once you're a special guest, you're always a special guest, and we'll often reference back to this conversation in the future.
Fantastic. I'm in the fold. So I bet Jeff was trying to get into Western. So I guess he's running Western coming up, right? It's just in a
He
few
is.
weeks.
He is. Yeah, it's just a couple weeks out.
Amazing.
And like the type of podcasters we are, we didn't really ask him about that. We
I was
talked
gonna
mostly
say,
about minor ski areas in New Hampshire.
yeah, we whatever we should be focusing on, we try to get off topic and ramble as much as we can.
We
Well,
like
good. I
to,
had no idea what to expect, so that's right up. That's my style.
and
Oh,
we do,
good,
yeah, and
good.
we do have a hidden time limit. These things, and we I'm I've been doing a bad job recently of telling people how low we're running on time. And the last episode was a great example of that when we asked Jeff for his closing words, and then it cut off right before he offered them, which was it
Yes.
was like amazing. It was like a perfect cut. Although we did find out what they were, and we will share them with our listeners.
Well, do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear
Oh,
him, Bobby?
yeah.
Okay, let's hear. What were Jeff's closing words? Yeah.
All right. So yeah, it's sort of, I think Dave just did the setup, but Jeff was saying something along the lines of, "Oh, like parting words. Usually for my parting words, I say this," and then it cuts into our theme song. So he emailed us a little bit after because we asked what it was, and he said, "Here it goes. Stay together, learn the flowers, go light." That's a Gary Snyder quote.
Dang, that's pretty nice.
It's pretty
That's
cool.
well thought out. But Jeff Cole's
Yeah.
probably done 100 podcasts.
Yeah, I know. That's cheating.
Yeah.
It's cheating if
He
you
was prepared.
he
Well, that's what
practiced.
it's like. I mean, in all those podcasts, he's going to be talking about Western states. I figure we can give him a break from that and
No, that's
you
an
know,
absolutely great point for sure.
let our listeners, you know, if they want to hear about his training up to Western states or, you know, coverage about the field, I'm sure other podcasters are talking about that.
But
That's probably.
I was going to say, I should say the reason I said that is because we are running low on time now. And
Hey.
I wanted to give us a moment for closing thoughts. So,
Yeah, we
is
can't
there
do
any,
it twice. You
no, we
can't
can't
do
do
2 weeks
that.
in a row.
We have to
No.
wait at least 10 episodes to have that same thing happen again. So,
Yeah.
Bobby, are there any closing thoughts you'd like to leave the listener with, or, you know, or plug anything for, you know, related to Broken Gold or any other music, or you can even just say your name again if you
I will tie
want.
one thing together. When you say running out of time, like how long have we got here?
We have 3 minutes and 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, you mentioned how many of those runners at Bandera were musicians, and I said that's a thing I love is like finding out someone is a runner. We all know everything we need to know about the bands we love and this guy and that guy. And then you learn that somebody's a runner, like finding out Johnny Marr goes for a run all the time, meeting different people. I've met a bunch of people over the years. And my favorite thing in the world is to be in their town and somebody come scoop me at the hotel and take me out for a run. And then when anybody's playing in Austin, that invitation is wide open. So I will tell you guys that. Hook
Wow.
anybody you want to up with my information. If they're going to be in Austin for something and they want to go run, I'm down.
Oh, that's
Oh,
awesome.
awesome.
That's very generous.
And that is great closing words and closing
Those
thoughts.
are.
And based on who I think our listening audience is, I think you'll be hearing from somebody at some point when the temperatures go down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I love nothing more. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, maybe in October you'll hear from somebody. I don't know exactly when it gets nice to run, but yeah.
We'll give Jesse the heads up. He can pop over from Denton sometime.
Yeah. Oh,
former special guest at popular keyboard player Jesse Chandler.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Plays keys and winds in Midlake and Mercury Rev.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear that new Mercury Rev album. All right, gentlemen. This has been lovely. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us. It was amazing to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It was a blast.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Well, thanks so much, Bobby, for coming on. That was too much fun. Really great talk. And covered so many awesome topics there. That was so awesome. And great closing words and thoughts from Bobby.
Yeah. Really awesome. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Yeah. I like when we can kind of get so many of our things that we're interested or even obsessed with into a conversation. And this one covered a lot. Not just music and running and former special guests. I guess we did somehow make it through the whole interview without telling our special guest about popular runner Jim Pergolesi.
Well, at least we've remedied the situation.
Yeah, and if he listens back to the episode, now he's at least heard the name and can start Googling.
Yeah, yeah. And so I mean, I guess I do have an update from the book club, and it's a little bit still a little bit raw, still a little bit fresh, but
the update that I'm going to continue butchering the title of the book in episodes.
the issue is one of my dogs ate not my running partner Lenny, but his friend, the other dog that lives with us, Abe, ate my copy. Thankfully, I think only short stories towards the end, such as The Match, which I don't think is a chapter in the book. I think it's just a separate short story. Also lost The Disgrace of Jim Scarfdale,
which sounds like a great story as well. But I guess what you're trying to say is that you didn't finish the story this week either, right? Which is
my dog literally ate the book, not in such a way that I wouldn't have been able to read it and still can't read it. And it also only happened about an hour ago.
All right. But that's fine. I mean, like
we just want to be transparent about the situation. Still a little bit sad. It was a nice copy. It was a nice vintage copy that's now eaten up.
I saw you hold it up to the screen here. It was a good looking copy. I read the PDF online version.
Yeah, that's what I should have done all along.
No, I was going to go. There's a nice McNally Jackson bookstore at Rockefeller Center. I was going to go. That said online, they had a copy. I was going to go there to try to buy it myself, but whatever. You know,
yeah.
Life is what happens when you're busy Googling how to get to a bookstore.
Well, so far I do really like the writing about running. I like the running description. Some of the language and writing style I don't love at times, told from the perspective of a 17-year-old in Borstal.
Yeah, Borstal. Yeah.
Borstal. Yeah.
I know how to say that because of the song Borstal Breakout. And now that I've mentioned it, maybe I'll edit that in, but
to be like a sort of low security prison type of setup.
Yeah, I think, well, we can have people correct us in the mailbag if I'm wrong. I think a Borstal is just a reform school for
reform school
teenagers in
juvie.
The UK, it's juvie. Yeah, we call it juvie over here.
Juvie. Yeah. And I do appreciate very much the descriptions of the morning pre-run, standing out in the cold, and he says everything's dead, but it's the good dead that's about to come alive, not the live type that has just died or something like that.
That's a great quote.
Kind of a good quote.
We should probably ask, you know, because we haven't had a lot of British special guests on this show, but we have had one.
Yeah, we should see what Tom thinks of Stilto. Yeah.
What does Tom Bosworth think about this? Because I bet you he's read it. Because I feel like that whole movement, the angry young man, right? Movement in British literature and film was a real big deal over there. And in the US, nobody paid any attention to that. This is not a thing here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
like I recently watched the film. What is it called? I don't know. Don't Look Back in Anger. Maybe it was called Look Back in Anger.
Yeah.
Did I mention that on pod?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Oh, it's good. It's a good film. But I recently watched that. And yeah, nobody watches that here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But over there, they're writing Oasis songs about it. And then like this short story, you know, Belle and Sebastian's writing about it. And it was just a whole part of the culture over there that we just didn't have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we can probably finish up. I mean, I'll definitely finish the book and the story, rather, whatever we want to call it, the not a novella, but short story, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll pick it up again next week.
Yeah. You know, stay tuned.
Who knows? Maybe I'll have finished it by then.
Who knows what could happen? But anyway, as far as this week goes, how was your week in running?
It was great. I ran every day.
Nice.
It was a good week in running. Getting back out there early, consistent. After several weeks of saying I needed to do that, I feel like I've actually done it this week in running.
And what an exciting week to do it on the Fortissimoth episode of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As you know, I was thinking we're going to be getting a little older, you and I. We have almost the same birthday. How long do we get to be Fortissimo for? How many years?
How many more years?
Yeah. When does the Fortissimo period of boyhood end?
I'd think for Fortissimo and 9.
Okay. I'll stick with that. I like that. So we got a while.
I mean, yeah, the later Fortissimos, it's kind of like being an elder millennial, you know. There's some relativity there, but I think you're still Fortissimo up to 49.
Okay. No, that's, I mean, we invented the term, so we can define it. So Fortissimo means either like over 40 and a half, but under 50.
Or maybe you could be Fortissimo. I mean, Bobby Daniel is, I think, past his Fortissimos in actual age, but I very much consider still having the Fortissimo spirit. I mean.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
So if you can capture it, being Fortissimo is truly a movable feast. And if you can capture it when you're first in the sweet spot, you can have it with you for the rest of your life.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Hemingway, not a runner, I don't think, but his writing sure does run.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Oh, maybe I'll try running to a Hemingway book on tape.
I bet it's good. I mean, that man's writing,
I've read, he's the novelist I've read the second most novels by.
Who's the first, Philip Roth?
Yeah, correct. I've read like a million Philip Roth and probably like, I think, 7 Hemingways.
Yeah.
But like, I've read like twice as many Philip Roth.
I don't know. Mine might be Cormac McCarthy.
That's your number one?
Possibly.
Oh, wow. I think I just have 2 from him.
Yeah. I started with some pretty intense ones.
Did you read Blood Meridian?
I did. That was the first one I read, and it was
a crazy book.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I was scandalized by that book.
That was a wild book. Yeah, they compare his writing style to Faulkner, which I see. I found Faulkner to be harder to read. And
well, did you read The Sound and the Fury?
I did. Yeah,
that one's, well, part one of that is pretty hard to read.
It's pretty damn hard read. Yeah. Yeah. I found Cormac's writing to be like completely crazy at times, but a little bit more understandable.
But did you read As I Lay Dying?
No. Is that the first in like the Border trilogy?
No, that's a Faulkner.
Oh, you're talking about Faulkner. No, I didn't.
I know we have at least one listener who would have considered that their favorite book at some point. That one I prefer. And it's also a lot easier to read. So
check that out.
Yeah. No running in it, but I think there's walking.
Did actually, funny enough, I have The Old Man and the Sea audiobook on Spotify saved somewhere.
That's the audiobook equivalent of the kind of music we were just talking about, like Cluster and Eno. Like if you like running to Cluster and Eno, you might also enjoy running to the audiobook of The Old Man in the Sea. Like it feels very similar.
Yeah, so, I'm pretty psyched.
So I'm psyched to hear what you and Bobby think about running to both of those things.
It'll be a audiobook of the week. I did have one sort of race preview to cover.
Let's do it.
And I think it might have come up in our interview, but Bobby was talking about Western States, which is just a couple weeks out, I think sort of end of June.
Yep. June 29th or 30th or something like that.
Or maybe 27th. I don't know. It starts around then. I don't know when the big, like, I'm sure there's like stuff around it and everything, but
I'm just shooting from the hip here. I don't actually know.
But yeah, we've got a lot of Power Motion Picnic athletes showing up this year. And I thought I would make a little race prediction.
Let's hear it.
Katie Scheid wins. Also comes in the top 10 overall.
Okay.
And Jeff Colt makes podium.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where are you putting popular runner Jim Pergolesi?
I don't think popular runner Jim. I think he's going to have a DNS.
He's going to be with you, me, and popular composer Brendan Etter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. It's a nice place to be.
But so anyway, everybody needs to check it out. Western States Endurance Run. Cheer on the Power Motion Picnic Hour community, our special guests, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good this year going in.
Okay, good.
We got a really strong team assembled.
I'm excited to refresh the results page live obsessively while the race is going on, and then cover it afterwards on the pod.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we covered Katie's Black Canyon 100 recent win. I know we mentioned it on a recent race recap, but what we failed to mention is she was also fifth overall. Wow. Which is like insane.
Yeah.
So she's running really strong right now.
Okay, I like your prediction, and I'm gonna go ahead and echo your prediction and say I predict the exact same thing.
Do you think there's gonna be a course record on either side, men's or women's?
No. I don't know. I don't know enough about this. One thing I learned from Katie is it's all about the day, right? It's all about the day you're out there. And so that, you know, we're not running on an indoor track here. This isn't the World Track and Field Championships last summer in Budapest.
Right, right. Well, this year, you're right. Because this year, I think there was a lot less snow than last year. And I think last year they would have still been battling some snow in some of the higher altitude parts. And this year, I'm guessing it's less of an issue. So it'll run a little bit faster. It'll favor runners like, pretty sure Jim Walmsley's there this year.
For a while, this was an episode where I knew what we were talking about the whole time. And now this has turned back into an episode like last episode, right? I also don't know what we're talking about.
Not the obscure world of ultra running.
I'm not opposed to it. I just don't have enough knowledge. I mean,
Well, I'll round it out by saying we learned that Jeff qualified last year by winning Bandera, which I forget if Bobby was there or not, but he's run Bandera. I think was saying he's going to run it again this year.
Yeah.
And then Jeff was telling us about Western States, where he was running strong and feeling good. And then at like mile 80 turned into a worm. So we can just, you know, hope that he learned from that experience, powers through this year, and gets that podium spot.
Yeah, I sure hope so. And we're all pulling for him here. And if the spirit of our community can't do it, well, that's okay. Because, you know, I'm sure the other people running are really cool too.
Yeah.
Do we have any other news? I think it's been a short week in running, so there's not a lot of updates to provide probably. I don't want to mention any more songs because I've cut myself, set myself up to splice a lot of songs in.
Yeah, we don't have to splice here because we did last week. I did listen to You Got I Want, last week's song of the week, Well Running. I did run to it. It ran for me.
It ran. I didn't run to their whole album yet, which I said I would, but just with the short week, I didn't really have the opportunity, but maybe I'll do that soon. Although we'll see. I'm going to be heading to Spain shortly. So I'll be doing some running in Spain. Talk about running in the heat.
Yeah.
Be running in southern Spain in June.
We know how unpredictable life can be. So we'll see whether you end up running to it or not.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll find out the answer to that and many questions on the next episode of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. In the still in the fortissimo range, at least for now.
At least for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you wanna end it there?
We can. We don't have to if you have more to say.
Well, I guess I'll say I had two other small pieces of business.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. And I did remember the lyric from last week that I was saying was about running. It was not about running, but it reminded me of running, which I picked up on today, which is at some point, I think she says, I'll walk a few feet for miles, which is kind of like how ultra running feels sometimes, you know, it's just sort of like every step, you know, and you just do that. And then pretty soon it's, you know, it adds up.
A few feet. That makes me think of like Toe Jam and Earl. Toe Jam specifically. Maybe that's probably not what she meant.
No. Walk a few feet as in like a distance.
Not that she has 3 feet like Toe Jam from Toe Jam and Earl.
I don't think so. At least that was not my interpretation.
Did you ever play that game?
For Sega?
Yeah.
Sega Genesis? Yeah.
Love that game.
That was a good one.
I always played as Toe Jam.
Yeah. I don't remember much about it.
If you were Earl and you didn't move for long enough, his pants would fall down. Anyway, sorry.
Good old classic days.
Classic game. Classic time spent not running.
So I guess this is sort of an live outbound mailbag, and we'll see if it reaches listener Dan. But I feel like listener Dan has been sort of teasing out some different sort of ideas over these various like audio messages of short music clips and occasionally an odd video and then Dancing Nathan and a lot of inbound mailbag about regional stoner rock as well. And I was wondering if listener Dan, who's a prolific songwriter, would perhaps be interested in writing a regional stoner rock Power Motion Picnic Hour related song.
Oh, that would be great. I'd love to hear it and probably feature it on the show. I mean, I'm comfortable committing to that right now.
Could be a song of the week. I mean, some of listener Dan's recent stuff is like super beautiful too. So I'd be honored to have a Power Motion Picnic song by listener Dan.
Yeah, I would very much. I've loved his recent stuff as well. And then if he becomes somehow officially part of the show, we can actually say his real name. That's how it works here.
Might even become a special guest. Who knows?
Who knows? The future is unpredictable like that.
Completely.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I had.
Okay, good. No, that's, yeah, me too. I just wanted to leave the closing words. The future is like Toe Jam and Earl walking a few feet for miles. And yeah, until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
Bobby Daniel.
This is the Power